Take our Bibles, let's stand together out of respect for God's Word. And at this time, as we stand, we're going to dismiss the children that are third grade down to 4 years old, and they're going to go out for the children's Bible hour. And if you have children that are in third grade down to 4 years old, 3 years old is a little young for them, but they'll come out for the Bible hour. Unless you want to keep them with you, you can keep them with you. You're the parent. Whatever you want to do, but that's available for them. But all of us third grade down to 4 years old. I enjoyed seeing you guys today at the soccer practice. That was great. I played basketball today with the 7th and 8th graders and the 5th graders, 4th graders for a little bit. And the reason I did that is because I have a better chance of beating the 5th graders than I have of beating the seniors. But we had a good time with them, the 7th and 8th grade, and really had a great chapel this morning anticipating good things. And we had a good prayer meeting as well today. And I want to encourage you young people, you don't have to go to prayer meeting to be spiritual. You may be cramming at lunch for the next test, and I understand that. But certainly you wouldn't be against what we're doing, those prayer meetings. And I think we're going to have a good week with those prayer meetings. Just growing every day and just encourage. We had a great time with that today. But we're looking forward to what God's going to do in this whole week. And I really hope that some of you that don't have to come back on Thursday and Friday, go ahead and come back. I'll be dealing with prophecy on Friday. The Lord's return is near, and we're going to talk about that. Why do we know the Lord's return is near? And what's the significance of it? And so it's a very important message that you really will wish you'd been here to see what the Lord, Word of God says on these things if you don't come. So I'm going to encourage you to be here, and let's go ahead and take our Bibles and let's turn this evening. Let's have a word of prayer first. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be together. And Father God, you know what you would desire to do in this week of meetings. Lord, you know what you desire to do tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you give great blessing and, Father, great leadership, and that one service at a time you take us to where you want us to be. Thank you, God, for this school, for this church, for all who are here tonight, for visitors, and we ask you, God, for great blessing and leadership. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Remain standing, if you will, and let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and I'd like to read verse 12. It says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Thank you. You may be seated. Dan is, I think, slipped out for some. He's over here. But when Dan was on the island of Guam, he used to live in Guam, and they did four-wheeling. And Guam is one of the best places for four-wheeling because they have several different kinds of terrain. They have mountains, they have jungles, they have beaches, and it's just a great place for four-wheeling if you enjoy that thing. Well, Dan is the adventuresome type. And so one day he went up a mountain that he'd never been on before. It was the kind of mountain that there was a cliff on the side where when you would go up, you couldn't quite see the ground beneath you. And then when they went to the top, Dan said, and he may share the story here, that he was going to go over the other side of that mountain, but he couldn't see where it was going, so his sixth sense kicked in, and he hit the brakes. And he was then deciding, I better see where I'm going. So he walked out, and he looked over in front of that jeep, and he saw that if he had gone just a little bit further, he and his buddy with him would have driven that jeep off a cliff. Now, he got back in and slowly worked his way back down, and the thing that was funny is when they got to the ground, he and his buddy both kissed the ground. Now, he literally took a path that could have been or would have been a way to death if he had gone a little bit further. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about the paths that we're on. At each stage of our lives, we could get off the right path. And any path that is different then God's path for our life is a way of ruin. Now, the Bible speaks about pondering the path of our feet, and the Bible talks about some paths leading to life. The Bible says that there is the path to life, but then the Bible says there is the path to death. And when the Bible talks about death, it does not always mean physical death, but sometimes it means ruin. And the path that you're on today is truly going to put you somewhere in the future. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult. And so we have to ponder and consider the paths that we're on. So this evening, I'm going to speak, starting the revival meeting with the school, inviting the adults to be here too. We're glad in starting the meeting with the church. But knowing that we've got a whole group of a whole different types of needs, I feel the Lord will have us talk about the path that we're on. Because the path that we're on will put us somewhere. Now, the first thing that I want to draw our attention to is the dead end path. Now, it says there is a way that seemeth right, but it's not. It's a dead end path. The end of the ways of death. Now, death does not always mean physical death. It could mean ruin. Now, there are some young people that any time they turn around, it seems like somebody's saying, boy, you're going to ruin your life. Or, girl, you're going to ruin your life. And I remember saying that when I was younger, and I would hear somebody say, you're going to ruin your life if you don't straighten up. And you know what I would think? How does he know? How does she know? Is she seeing the future or something? But now that I am an adult, I do look back and I do realize you can actually look at a path somebody's on and figure out where they're headed. It's not good. And even if you're a junior or senior in high school, you can look back and you can see when people took a wrong course. And we often understand the path a person's on really does lead somewhere. Now there was a boy, for instance, that I saw have anger issues. And I said, then what if you've got anger issues? And you've got to control this. He was so angry when he was talking about his dad. He said, my dad's blanking up my life. And I said to him, hold on a second there. You realize what you just did? You used the curse word with the evangelist. Look how blind you've become and how angry you are. And I said, if you don't get your anger under control, your life's going to be harder. He blew it off. And the evangelist town Pharaoh came along shortly afterwards, saw the same team a year later, and he said, son, you got an anger issue, and if you don't get this thing figured out, you're going to wind up in jail. He blew him off. And true story, two weeks after Pharaoh was there, the evangelist, this young man was so angry at his dad, he was playing heavy metal music, he went into his dad's bedroom while his dad was asleep, took a hammer, and he beat his dad's skull in with a hammer. That happened. Hickory, North Carolina. And here's a guy who's going the wrong direction, and you can see anger is out of control, but he just blew it off. Now, if you've had somebody come to you and said, I am concerned, teen, don't blow it off, because that's somebody trying to intervene for good on your behalf. Now, a dead-end path. Now, how do you tell if somebody's on the wrong path or not? One reason is all paths are consistent, and another reason is all paths are common. What do you mean? First, all paths are consistent. Now it says, there is a way that this man took, and where did it lead to? Death. Now think with me, if he took it a second time, where would it lead to? If he took it 100 times, where would it lead to? Because paths always lead to the same place. Now think with me, don't blow this off. Let's say that I think that the way to get out of this room is I run this way straight ahead about 50 feet. Now what's going to happen to me in about 20 feet? I'm going to bang my head into the wall. Now, let's say I get up here the second time, and I say, wait a minute, maybe it'll turn out better the second time. Seems like the right way. I put my head down and run this way again, putting good gusto into it. What's going to happen the second time? I'm going to bang my head into the wall. And let's say I get up here 3 times. What's going to happen the third time? And each time, it's going to turn out the same way. It's just a fact. Now, paths always lead to the same place. Paths are consistent. Now, if I see that you're on a certain path, and I look and I see where that's leading people, then I can say that's where it's going to lead you. I'm not me. I'm not
hating you, I'm trying to intervene and say, look at you, you're going this way, and you are not going to like where this is going to take you. And then you have to decide if you'll listen. Now, the second thing, I can tell where someone's going to be 5 years from now by the fact that all paths are common. Now, what does common mean? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:1, there's nothing new under the sun. And you know what that means? There's not a path you can try somebody else has not already tried. Now, if I'm up here and I go this way and you're watching me, now stay with me, young people, especially adults, you don't have to listen. I'm kidding. Now, stay with me, and let's say that you see me up here run, and 3 times I've banged the head of the wall, and my head is really going in circles. And after you see me bang my head in the wall 3 times, that would be dumb, right? But you know what would be really foolish? Listen, is after you see me do it 3 times, you get up here and do the same thing. Now, when I was a boy, my neighbors across the street had about 10 acres of land, and they built this little tree house in the back. And we had a lot of fun. And they had this trail that we cut out to go to the back. They had vines. And we would swing on those vines like we were Tarzan. We would dig holes in that trail, put sticks over it, pine needles covered up, and our friends would come around the lawn, we'd stuff our trap and fall in a hole. And it was only like a 3-foot drop or maybe 1-foot drop, but it was fun. Now, the best thing about it was in the very back, we built a treehouse. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that treehouse, and you're going to think I'm making it up, but I'm not. We took this path hundreds of times, every time that we went down this path. Now, I know that sometimes you think exaggerate, but I'm not. We took this path hundreds of times, and every time that we went down this path, actually, please believe me, guys, I'm not making it up. We took this path hundreds of times. And every time we went down this path, now, you're probably not going to believe me, but I am telling you the truth on this thing. We took this path hundreds of times. And every time that we went down this path, please believe me, I am not exaggerating for sake of illustration. We took this path hundreds of times. And every time that we went down this path, are you ready? It always led to the treehouse. You say, well, duh, of course. All right, that's my point. Paths are consistent. And paths are common. And that means that I can see, listen, you hate this word. You hate this word. But I can see attitudes, and I can see where it's taking you. You hate this word. But I can see lifestyle, and I can see where it's taking you. Because paths are common, paths are consistent. Now, you can try the path of lying, have others already been liars? You can try the path of cheating to get through your schoolwork, have others already done that? You can try the path of sexual sin, sex out of appearance. You can try to pass the path of dirty pictures. You can try the path of rebellion. You can try drugs. Others have already done that. Smoking. I guess others have tried that. You can try drinking alcohol. And I'm not being unkind. But some of your parents have put your kids in a Christian school, but you've got beer in the refrigerator. Now, others have already done that. And the inconsistencies hurt. And when you look at the path that you're on, you can get a pretty good idea. If you're sneaking around on your parents, if you're doing things you shouldn't do, if you are lying and cheating, and doing all of these things that you know are wrong, others have already done it. And when we try to intervene, don't get mad, we're trying to intervene. Why? Because we don't want you to wind up where others are at. When I was a kindergarten student, I saved myself a lot of pain by watching other people's mistakes. What do you mean? Mr. Piper was her principal. He was our final authority. He was about 6 foot tall and about 6 foot wide. And he walked with authority. He sat down with authority. And he swung a paddle with authority. Now back then they could spank, and I never had to get a spanking. All I had to do was see my friend go to that room. The door would shut, there'd be a moment of silence, and you'd hear, ah! And I knew I didn't want to go there. Now I saved myself a lot of pain by watching other people's mistakes as a kindergartner and hearing them. No kidding. Some of you are 15 years old, 16 years old, 18 years old, 28 years old, 48 years old, and maybe even older, and you still have not learned, you can save yourself a lot of pain by watching other people's mistakes. Now, there is in the Bible a warning. Pound the path of your feet, because that thing's taking you somewhere. And you had better be sure that it's taking you a place that you want to be. Now listen, I'll guarantee you there are young people in this room that need to change the path that you're on. And that's what the week's all about. You have music issues, wrong direction. You have dating standards, wrong directions. You've got Facebook habits, wrong direction. Internet problems, that's the wrong way. And all of these things, attitudes, don't get mad. If it's a wrong direction, it's a wrong direction. And you have to see it so you can do an about face and save yourself a lot of pain. Right, number one, there's the dead end path. Number two, as we look at this, kind of getting started, are you on a way of death that could lead you to ruin tomorrow? That's my first question. Are you with your family on a way of ruin that could ruin your kids tomorrow? And are you in some relationship that could ruin your future? The only way to change the future is to do an about face right now. Now, secondly, I want us to look at the distinct path. Now, simple as this is, look at Proverbs 14:12, at least in your mind again. It says there is a way this man takes. A way, not two ways. Now, what that means is life is about making decisions. Life is about making what?
Decisions.
And we're going to live with the decisions that we make. And I have to make a decision. Am I going to drink beer or am I not going to drink beer? I have to make a decision. Am I going to use cuss words or am I not going to use cuss words? I am going to go to church or I am not going to church. Life is about making decisions. And so we have a way. Now, if you're going down the road and you come to a fork in the road and you walk down, I don't mean something you can eat food with. You're going down the road, and there's a fork in the road that splits in two different ways, and you go down both paths at the same time. Not unless you're extremely bold there. Now, in the course of our lives, we're going to have to come to forks where we're going to have to make decisions. Now, the first fork that we're all going to come to is the fork of salvation. Now, there are a lot of wrong paths that people are trying to take to get to heaven. And don't be offended. If you think that this is a mean thing, it's not a mean thing any more than a doctor saying, you've got cancer you need to deal with. You've got something you need to deal with. If you are thinking that you'll get to any other way than through Jesus, if you think you'll get to heaven any other way than through Jesus, you're taking the wrong path. Now, if one guy says 2 plus 2 is 4, and another person says 2 plus 2 is 5, can they both be right, yes or no? One man says the way to get to heaven is to take mass. Another guy says, no, you speak in tongues. And another guy says, no, you pray to Allah. And another person says, no, you get baptized. And then I come along and I say, hey, it's nothing to do with what you do. It has to do with what Jesus did. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins, was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose again. And if we put our faith in what he did, we will be saved. Now, can I take the path of Buddha and the path of Jesus? No. Can I take the path of Hare Krishna, a cult, and the path of Jesus? No. Is it any different to take the path of the Virgin Mary than Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. And don't be offended. You have to make a decision what you're going to do with what your Bible says. Because the Bible says that God wants everybody in heaven. I'm not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he wants you in heaven, but he's making it very clear. There's only one way we'll get there. Jesus. And what you do with Jesus will determine where you end up in the future. Now that's true, girls. That's the truth. Now, not being offended. You can be a Catholic and go to heaven. But you can't believe in the Virgin Mary as a way of heaven to ever get to heaven. You can't. You can be in a different religion and get to heaven. If It is a religion or a denomination that teaches the only way to heaven is through putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Not the baptistry, not your good deeds. God says it's not about works. So who's right? You're the Bible. And the Bible's always right. It's going to tell you. It's one way. And here it is. You have to decide, am I going to go what God's Word says? Am I going to go that way? Or am I going to try another way? And the Bible says in Matthew 7, behold, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go on thereat, because narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And it's saying there's a narrow way, that means there's one street that's going to take you to heaven. Now, we're in Christian school. In the Christian school, you're being taught Jesus is the only way to heaven. Young people, how many have been taught Jesus is the only way to heaven in this school? Now, you're being taught that, but are you going to believe that? Now, I had a girl come to me, and she said, I need to get saved. She was a senior in Christian school. Teens, look at me now. Look up here. Hey, senior in Christian school. You say, oh, you're wasting your time. We're already all saved. No, not necessarily. Now, listen. In a Christian school, she said to me, I need to get saved. I said, I thought you were saved. She said, no, I know I'm not saved. I said, why would you say that? You've been on mission trips. Why would you say that? You've led people to the Lord. She said, I know I'm not saved. Why? She said, because all my life, I thought that I could go to heaven this way because I was raised this way. And if a friend was raised by Muslim parents and they would put their faith in Allah, then they would go to heaven. As long as you believe whatever you're raised with. And she finally realized it's not whatever we're raised with, it's whatever God requires. And then another girl in Christian school, she said, I need to get saved. I said, I thought you were saved. I'm not saved. Why would you say that? Why are you doubting? She says, because I came here since kindergarten through 12th grade, my parents teach in the school, and all my life I've heard about this, and I've done everything they want me to do. Because I love my parents. But then she said, it's always been my mom and dad's thing, though. I said, you've evaluated correctly. You will never get to heaven until Jesus, hear me, until Jesus becomes your thing. Now, having young people make Jesus your thing, you're having to make a choice. There is a choice that has to be made. Now, you come to the fork of salvation, and one or the other is going to be made. Seriously, you are either going to say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. I don't care what you say with your mouth. What are you saying to Jesus with your heart? Now, first we come to the fork of salvation. Then we come to the fork of submission. Now, a teenager come up to me, he's a friend of mine, and he said to me, Mike, if I decided to tell a lie to mom and dad and just forget about it, can I be right with God? Now, what do you teens think? Can I be on the path of a liar and be right with God at the same time? No. Now, here's why we mess up. And young people, I want to help you. I don't want to beat you. I want to help you. And hear me. Sometimes we evaluate ourselves like this. I am 75% right with God, only 25% not right with God. They're only 50% right with God. Well, I'm 90% right with God, 10% not right with God. Sure. But I have such a better attitude than I used to have. Sure. I'm speaking out of good things I shouldn't do, but my attitude's good about it. So I'm better than I was. Listen to me. Let's say that you're on a train track, and a train is coming, and you hear that thing, and you see the danger, and you think, man, I better get off the train track. So, what do? You go 50% off. Well, I'm better than I was. I'm safer than I was. What's going to happen to you? You're going to get killed. Let's say you say, well, the train's coming. That's a dangerous thing. Look, I'm going to step off most of it, but I've got to keep my foot on there because they told me not to, so I will. And so what's going to happen to you? You're going to lose your foot. Yeah, that showed up. No, you lost your foot. You didn't win anything. And the thing is, if you're not completely right with God, killing you are on the wrong path. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, paths lead somewhere. And you have to decide, am I on a wrong path? The path that I'm on is going to take me somewhere. There was a girl who was talking to herself in my youth group. We took her to her house, Took her to her the hospital where her mother was in the hospital. She was 46 years old. She was dying. She was dying from smoking cigarettes. And so as we take her to the hospital to visit her mom says, "Mandy, I was 16 years old when I began to smoke cigarettes. And I wish I'd never taken the first puff." Now, there could be somebody here tonight, whether you're a teen or whether you're an adult, that's smoking cigarettes. And here's what she said. "I wish I'd never taken the first puff." And you know that as soon as she got out, as soon as she died, maybe God was rebellious speaking to her, and so she's living with her grandmother. Grandma finds out that she's smoking cigarettes. And she says, "Mandy, what are you doing? Your mom smoked cigarettes and she died from cigarette smoking." And she said, "Well, when mom was young, she got to try the different roads for herself. Now it's my turn. Now I want to try the different roads for me." Hear me. That's stupid. You don't have to make mistakes and learn your life when you take a look at the direction. Now, number one, there is a dead-end path, and there's a path that can be on today that can bring you life tomorrow. Now, I'm going to ask you, am I just talking, or is what I'm saying true? That you can be on a path today that will ruin your future tomorrow. Yes or no, young people? Yes or no, young people? Yes or no? Yes or no? Adults, am I right? And you can be on a path today that will take your family to the wrong place. Am I right? If you as adults are trying the best you can to lead your children in the right way, do yourself a favor. You're spending money to put them in a Christian school. Don't destroy what you're spending your money on. When the kids go home and you say one thing, you go to that Christian school where you learn how to live for God, and at home, you use cuss words. At home, you're always foaming at the mouth in anger. At home, you're bitter about everything that's happening at church. And at home, you've got the cigarettes and the beer. You're ruining your family. Now, the decisions that you make have ramifications. Dead and ruined paths. Number two, there are decisions that have to be made. There's a distinct path that we make, and there could be somebody here today who will go home and make a distinct decision that will change their future. Could somebody make a decision today and say, "Mom, Dad, I've been wrong. Will you help me?" Could someone make a decision today and say, "God, I was wrong. Will you help me?" Absolutely. "God, this area is a sin. I've got to admit it and stop it." And it could happen. Number one, the distinct path. Number two, the dead-end path. And in closing, I want you to look one more thing. Look at Proverbs 14:12. One more thing tonight. And this, I think, will hit home to at least every one of the young people and probably even the adults. Proverbs 14:12, there is a distinct path. There is a dead-end path. But also, there is a director of your path. There is a director of your path. Now, young people, listen. Not trying to just get you an outline, but I'm trying to get you to get a thought. There's a directive to your path. There's a directive to your path. Let's say that there is a directive to your path. Alright, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Now, who is directing this man? He's directing himself. So he's got a director. He's directing himself. Now, here's the last point. Be careful about who's directing you. There's a man, Dale Moody, and he preached about how years ago there was a blizzard up the eastern coast, and it was so bad that you couldn't hardly see where you were going. And there were trains, and the trains were so covered with snow that they couldn't see out the window to see where they were going. And the story goes that there was a woman that had a child, and she was afraid she was going to miss her town. So a man saw her fear and said, "Ma'am, you look like you're nervous about something. Can I help you?" And she said, "I can't see anything. I don't know where I'm supposed to get off of the train. I don't want to miss my stop, or I'll never find where I'm supposed to be in this blizzard." And the man said, "Ma'am, I've traveled this train so many times. There are 13 stops before we come to your town. I've been counting because I can't see either. And so far we've gone 7 stops. And I'll tell you when we're at your town." She said, "Oh, thank you." And this is a true story, they said. And so what happens is, time goes by, 11 stops, ma'am. Yours will be in 2 stops and another stop. Ma'am, if your son's ready, there's a stop. At the very next stop, that's your town. And so she gets her child ready at the next stop, according to the deal. Money. She exited the train, thanked the man, with her little child and a suitcase. And you know, as they went on a little bit further, they made another stop about a minute and a half later. It was unexpected. And so this time the brake master comes to him and says, sorry, we had to stop back there and work on the engine, and then hollered out the name of the city where the woman was supposed to be. And so the man said, what? Where are we? And named again the town. So where were we? Well, we had a problem in the engine. We had to stop and work on it. That's why we had our last stop. I apologize for any inconvenience. And the man said, I let a woman out there. Where were they? He said, I don't know. And they said they went back to look for the woman, but because of the blizzard, they couldn't. And as a result, the next morning, true story, they found the woman and the little child arm in arm, but they were dead. Now, that is a very good illustration about being careful where we get our directions from. Now, we can get directions from one of four people, and I know I've got the bases covered with these four. Number one, it could be Satan. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you think that Satan knows your name? So why would you think that Satan would at least send some demonic influence to try to get you away from God? Could be self. Girl said this to herself. It's not going to hurt me. And it did hurt her. At the age of 46, she died from cigarette smoking, coughing up blood and phlegm. And she says to her daughter, wish I'd never taken the first puff. And you come along and say to yourself, it's not going to hurt me. One girl said this to herself. Just one time won't hurt. Not trying to be crude, but she got pregnant. This one time did hurt. She gave herself bad advice. Now, who's leading? The Savior or self? I know my attitude is wrong, but that's the way I feel. Self. I know my music is wrong, but I like it. Self. Well, I know it's wrong, but it's what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. I know it's wrong, but I want to, I'm going to do it. And you can give yourself bad advice. There was one young man, true story, one of my father-in-law's meetings, and the lady said, I've got a son who's rebellious, he's running from God, and they had actually fasted for this young son to come back to God. And so this young son, in rebellion, mom said, you're grounded, and he said, I'm not staying home and you can't stop me. She said to him, son, you're grounded, you're not leaving this house without my permission. Mom, you can't stop me. Got in his car, started to drive out, and mom's going, aren't you afraid of God? And he said, true story, God's not going to do anything to me, mom. That night, though he was a swimmer, on the swim team, he ran out with some of his buddies and he hopped in the creek and went swimming. The kid drowned. I think God did something to him. And you can give yourself bad advice. Right, number one, it could be Satan, it could be self. Number three, it could be society. Now turn your head and look at two or three people sitting around you, if you will, real fast. Now, particularly, just look at them, and now, then look at that name. And I've got a question for you. Would you be willing to let the two or three people you just looked at make all the decisions for you for the rest of your life? I wouldn't either. I saw the sun you were looking at. But the point is, why do teenagers sneak off on their parents and do things they shouldn't do? Usually a friend gets them doing. Am I right? How do teenagers get their very first can of beer? A friend. When you learn that your parents are losers, a friend. Your dad's a loser. Your mom's a loser. A friend. And I'm telling you, friends don't always give you good advice. Now, One friend said to some friends, "Hey, your dad's away. Let's take your dad's car for a drive." "I can't." "Dad said I can't take the car out while he's gone." "He saw your dad won't know. Come on, let's go do it." "Okay." So they take dad's car, true story, and they drive. They have an accident. And this kid, who took his dad's car driving, hit his head on the windshield, cracked the windshield, cut his forehead. Knocked him unconscious. You know what his friends did? They said, "Man, we don't want to get in trouble." So they laid him outside next to the road so that somebody would come along and help this unconscious teen, and they booked. Friends are really good friends sometimes when they're going to get in trouble. And you know what? They could have taken this young man to the hospital, should have been able to take him and help him, but through that little tiny cut in his head, they said that he bled to death, and friends do not always have your best interest in mind. Now, it could be Satan, it could be self, it could be society. Don't let your friends ruin your life. And don't think that we don't influence each other. We do. I went into a restaurant one time and I saw a teen, not saying that there's anything wrong with this, if anybody has this kind of haircut, but I saw a teen who was totally bald on this side, his long hair down to his bottom on the other side. He walks in and you know he's thinking, "Duh. I'm an individual. Duh. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to comb my hair." But then I saw another guy walk in right behind him, and he had the same haircut. They walked like ducks in a row, and the second guy's walking in. "We're the individuals, aren't we? Nobody can tell us how to cut our hair, huh?" Right? "I don't think so, right?" "We're individuals." And then a third guy came walking with the same dumb haircut, bald on this side, bald on this side. Now, there's no sin in that. It just is weird. So, there's no sin in that, but he walks along. "We're individuals. There ain't nobody going to tell us what to do with our hair. Nobody." Then a fourth guy came in with the same dumb haircut. And then when he walked by, I actually heard him say, "Look at them. They're looking at us." "Of course." Now, we really do influence each other. Let me ask the young people, will you ponder your path and will you listen to me and will you consider something? Will you look at your life and see when and if and when you start listening to the wrong music? Can you tell me at least that some kinds of music would be good for a Christian? If you young people agree to that, would you raise your hand if you at least some kind of music would be good for Christian? Okay? And if you adults would agree with me, would you raise your hand? Okay, now, who is the one that got you listening to the wrong kind of music team if you did? Now, if you got into the wrong kind of music, you probably had some older kid that was real cool in your school and got you into it. Who's the one who got you into the wrong things? It's usually a friend. Now be careful. Don't let a friend ruin your life. Could be safe, could be self, could be society. Hang out in the path of the wicked. Go out in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, is what the Bible says in Proverbs. And in closing, it could be the Savior. Now, even as adults, we're not listening to the Savior. Don't be offended. Don't defend it, and don't think that I'm just the guy who's hollering up here to be me, but the Bible says if a man lies with a woman, it's with a man, it's an abomination. Now hear me. There are Christian people that even as Christian people are getting very sympathetic with this thing. Now, God calls it an abomination. And if you're letting society tell you that there's nothing wrong with it, then you're letting society tell you and not the Savior. Even as adults, if you've got a child that's gone that route, if you've got a family member that's gone that route, if you've got a friend that's gone that route, God says very clearly it's an abomination. Now, I don't hate them, but it's an abomination. But listen, so is lying an abomination. So should I not say lying is an abomination because people tell lies? Do I hate liars because they tell a lie? No, it's an abomination. Now, the same is true with homosexual lifestyle. And if you are letting society change your thinking, you're letting society change you from God's thinking. And we'll do this and deviate and get on the wrong path. Now, it should be the Savior. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And the path that we choose is going to put us somewhere. Now, I'll close with this. In one of my meetings that I preached a meeting with another preacher, the other preacher and I were talking, and he said there was a girl in one of his meetings that he was praying for, trying to win her to Christ. She raised her hand. She said, I don't want to go into heaven. And so she put her hand down at the invitation. He prayed for her, and she didn't come down the invitation. The next time he preached, she raised her hand. I don't want to go into heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. And put her hand down. He prayed for her, and she didn't walk that aisle. Third night, fourth night, fifth night, final night. Raise your hand every night. Don't want to go into heaven, but I need to. Pray for me. And she didn't get saved. Now, afterwards, he went to her and said, young lady, I see you don't know you're saved. Do you want to get saved? Yes, preacher, but not now. Well, young lady, don't put this thing off. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not that they may bring forth. Preacher, I'll get saved. I appreciate it. Thanks for praying for me. Keep praying for me, but I'll get saved later. Not now. He said, well, why? She said, preacher, I'm having too much fun right now. I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to get saved later. But don't worry about me. I'll get saved later. Preacher said that. Young lady, you don't know that you're going to have a lady. Now, then she says something. After the conversation got a little more intense, probably a little lengthy, and the girl wasn't going to break, she finally, in her attitude, she said, preacher, you don't understand. I'm having so much fun in my sin. I wouldn't get saved today if I knew I'd be in hell tomorrow. True story. She got in the car with her mom and dad. Drove home after that meeting. And as they're driving home, they're pulling into their driveway. A drunk driver came along, hit them in the rear end of that vehicle, and shot them into the 6-foot-deep ditch. The car was smashed up like a pretzel. Mom and dad got out. They called the girl's name. There was no response. And then finally, they hear her faintly say, Mom, Dad, I'm not hurt. But I'm pinned in the back seat, and you've got to get me out of here. I'm going crazy. I'm not hurt, but I'm pinned in. Get me out of here. And they called the rescue squad, and they went back listening to her, and she kept assuring them, I'm not hurt. I'm just pinned in. Get me out, Mom. Get me out, Mom. Get me out, Dad. And then the rescue squad arrived. They pulled off the jaws of life, which is that powerful tool to cut cars in half and extract the person. When they pulled out that tool, the mom and dad went over to talk to them about it, said, come help her, just then. Thankfully, mom and dad had slipped away. One of those drunk drivers, not realizing there was a leak in the fuel tank, lit up a cigarette. Tossed the match on the ground, carelessly. And in less than a second, it ignited with the fuel that was spilling, goes, and the young lady screams, oh dear God, help me! As she goes into eternity. And the girl who said, I would not get saved today if I knew I would be in hell tomorrow, that's where she was. Now there could be somebody in the room tonight who's on a path today that's going to put you in hell tomorrow. There could be somebody in this room today that's on a path that's going to put you in hell 10 years from now. But the only way to change the future is what you do with Christ and the Bible today. Let's bow our heads.